Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back. We are back again here at Snug Wrestling. We're going to do the Monday Night Review, Monday Night Raw before the Money in the Bank finally went down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And myself, the host of this Snug Wrestling podcast, Edgar, along with my crew, Mr. Blood, who disappeared for some reason, BT Knight, Tommy will join us later, and Toxic, we're going to go over this show. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
We're doing good. Wish some of the stuff that was happening this week wasn't happening, honestly. Like, some of the bad stuff that's happened during wrestling, like some of the releases that have happened, some of the contracts that are being expired, but good to watch a full show of wrestling, so happy to be here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We heard that R-Truth, he's not going to get renewed, neither is Carlito, and neither is Valhalla. So we got three new releases from the WWE. It is unfortunate, but like, I mean, are we, let's be real, like, are we shocked by this? I know it's upsetting. I know we love R-Truth, we love Carlito, and it sucks, but like, can we be mature adults about this and just be honest with ourselves and just say, hey, you know what? These guys are older guys. They're veterans. The WWE just doesn't need them anymore. What gets me so mad is like, I know that these guys, a lot of fans like these people, but like, can we stop being so biased and just be reasonable and just be honest with ourselves? These guys, like, there's only so much you can do with talents like these. You can't push everyone. Not everyone can be a top guy. Not everyone can be champion. If they're just, they weren't even wrestling. They were just backstage doing stuff. Like, why do you want, I understand why people want to keep them. They're funny. They're entertaining. But if they're not wrestling, they're just backstage doing goofy sex, like, come on, people. Like, let's just be real here.
I feel like Carlito and Valhalla are the most understandable. Although, I think it's still weird to not mention Carlito at all tonight. I thought that was pretty odd. Not mentioning Truth, because we know that the moment I mention Truth, the fans are going to eat the office alive. Like, they tried to hijack the show a couple times tonight over R-Truth. As far as concerned, Valhalla, I understand. Truth, though, is the one that really perplexes me. You just had him versus John at Saturday Night's main event. He just was in a match on Friday Night SmackDown. Even if you wanted to, you could have just gone, you know, to him backstage, going, "Hey, Truth, look, we're paying you this much, and we're not featuring you a lot. Would you stay on with us in a different capacity, or can we transition you into a backstage role or something, an ambassador role, whatever, for this much of a pay cut? And then we can, because let me put it this way. You'll fire Truth, who was just in a main event match with John Cena, but Natalya's still there. Asuka's still there. Omos's still there.
Maxine Dupri.
We've seen Grayson Waller and Austin Theory wrestle a total of twice this year on TV. So, like, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense when it's like Truth, by the way, who was one of the top merch sellers of the last week with the Ron Cena shirt. So he's making them money. So it's not like he's just not making the money. He was one of the top merch sellers of the end of last month. So that doesn't make sense. He's making you money. He's over as hell. People love seeing him. You got a great story out of him and John. And he's a lifer. He's been with you for 17 consecutive years, and then plus his first run. You could have just transitioned him into a backstage role, a producer role.
He's also something in his fucking 50s. But like,
exactly. Transition him out of the ring. You did it for Mark Henry. You did it for Jason Jordan. You did it for TJ. TJ. You did it for Robert Roode. You can't do it for Truth. You could just go to him and say, "Hey, your contract, we need to renegotiate your contract. We're going to re-sign you. We need to lower it, and we're going to transition you out of an out-of-ring position."
What pisses me off the most about this whole R-Truth being released thing people getting the shits at this. Weren't y'all the same motherfuckers that were getting the shits at R-Truth for going up against John Cena? Weren't you the same ones that were complaining about that shit? That he didn't deserve that match?
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was ridiculous, that it was filler. But the problem here, the only problem I have with the fan base on this one, I understand feeling hurt. I understand feeling upset. I think they should have made a better business decision with how they handled it and not just go, hey, we're not going to renew your contract right after you just gave them a marquee fucking match. But I think that the only thing that I think is wrong on the fan base side is all of a sudden because of this, now every video I see about wrestling is how WWE is cooked. It's finished. Oh, it's not the Triple H era anymore. It's the TKO era. How everybody's acting like just because they released this one guy that WWE is washed. I think, and I've been seeing that for days, and I'm like, that's an over-exaggeration. And people are acting like it's Triple H's fault. Triple H is the head of talent relations. He doesn't handle direct contracts. They even said that he was contacted by a talent relations person who released him. Talent relations is going to start going towards contract shit, which goes towards Ari Emanuel, Nick Khan, those guys. That's not, Triple H only has a certain amount of power over here. He's not in charge of all of this. That's just the perception on TV. So blaming Triple H for this, no, he could have saved his job. It's not his job to save his job. And as much as we can be upset about it, this is unfortunate, but R-Truth is going to land on his feet. People are going to be chomping at the bit for him. This is not the end of the world for him. You know he's going to get a Hall of Fame induction at some point. Of course he is. And I'm sure he'll always be welcome back in the WWE. He was well-beloved. It's sad, but we can't act like it's the end of the world here, no matter how much we want him back. And maybe that trending hashtag will push them to possibly bring him back when they see just how upset fans are. But we'll have to wait and see. But
yeah,
don't hold your breath.
I don't see the point in that. I mean, like, yes, it's okay to be upset and everything. But again, like, people aren't stupid. Wrestling fans, they're not dumb. It just goes back to just being whiny little bitches. And I'm willing to bet money in a month from now, people are going to forget about all this shit. They're not even going to mention R-Truth. I give it a month before people move on with their lives and just, like, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, remember how upset everyone was over, does anybody remember, what was the guy's name during COVID? Who, he was a wrestler in WWE. He got released, cried his eyes out on Twitter about, you know, losing his job during the pandemic, cried so hard, was so upset, and then because his video of him crying went viral, WWE rehired him just to barely use him, and then he got released again about a year or so less later. Like, I'm trying to remember which wrestler that was, but
it sounds familiar. But
guys,
yeah,
these are contractors. This is a business, and at the end of the day, R-Truth, he understands that he's hurt by this. He's probably upset by it, as are so many of his peers. But at the end of the day, he also knows it's not personal. It's not like they came after his livelihood. They've paid that man millions of dollars over his 17-year career. Millions.
I just ask the people to just be fucking honest with yourselves. This man is in his 50s. He's been in the company. Give me a second, left, bud. Maybe. Give me a second, please. He's in his fucking 50s. He's been in the company for many, many years. He got to go out after wrestling John Cena at Saturday Night's Main Event. You know, he had his final match on SmackDown. Like, he had a great fucking run. And you can't, every wrestler's career, even if you're fucking Roman Reigns, if you're Randy Orton, it's going to come to an end at some point. It's just time for R-Truth's career to be, it's over. Like, you can't have someone signed to the WWE forever for the rest of their fucking lives. Like,
I think the only way that they could have here's the only thing, and this is my last thought on this. I feel like they could have saved themselves the backlash, because, by the way, and let's be honest here as well, this is the biggest backlash that I can ever remember from them releasing a talent. I can't remember the last time we've ever had this big of a backlash. I think maybe CM Punk might be the last time it was this big a news. As far as that is concerned, you guys got to remember one thing. R-Truth, Ron Killings, is, again, like he said, 53. The only way I understand this could have been handled better is if they had made it story. It should have been, if without the title on the line, they could have easily done John Cena versus R-Truth's career at Saturday night's main event and then release him that way instead of this jarring, random way on a Sunday when they normally do releases on a Friday. So this really came out of nowhere. Make it a part of the story so he sees it coming, the fans understand, and it makes sense.
Does it, though? Because then, I mean, John Cena will forever
be career
known.
Up against...
John Cena will forever be known to be the guy to retire R-Truth. And if John Cena... And if John Cena, I don't think he's going to completely retire, have his final match as a heel. He's not going to go out as a heel. I don't know if that makes sense.
But it wouldn't be career versus career. It would be like, title versus career kind of thing. So right. Like if it's truth,
if
then you're done.
If John Cena was to go out completely retire as a full blown heel, then yes, it would make sense. But I don't think that's what's going to happen with John Cena.
No. But it would have been great for the current present heel heat. They would have gotten off of it now. And that's the only way I can feel like it would have made the most sense. And the fans could have stomached it more instead of crying the way that they are crying. But I agree with you. Fans are fickle and whiny. This is business, guys. It's not personal. As much as it sucks, it's not personal.
So I think the biggest issue that people have are not the fact that he's leaving. It's mainly the fact of why put him in this thing involving Jimmy and the Bloodline if he's leaving like the next week anyways.
I mean,
no, not after the name he has.
I don't know, you guys. I think when it comes to R-Truth, I mean, I love R-Truth. He was funny. He was in the WWE for a long time. But is R-Truth, did he have a Hall of Fame career? Do you guys see R-Truth getting a Legends deal or anything like that?
Absolutely.
He absolutely had a Hall. He absolutely had a Hall of Fame career in his category because there are people in the Hall of Fame that have done even less than he has. Multi-time tag, world tag team champion, unified tag team champion, intercontinental champion, United States champion, 24/7 champion, over 20 years in the business. And he has three career wins over John Cena. And he even had The Rock's first ever match back in a tag match with Awesome Truth versus Cena and The Rock when The Rock came back to the ring for the first time all like 13 years ago. He had a Hall of Fame career.
That's all nice and everything, but like, I don't know.
We all hate the 24/7 title and the way it looks.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the thing is, when you think of the 24/7 title, you think of R-Truth and his 53 reigns that this man had.
51.
Well, I don't know if that's something to brag about. I don't know if that's something.
I don't think that reign is canon anymore, but let me put it this way so we can start the show. Let me put it this way. If you look at the fact that this is WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, he has a Hall of Fame worthy career alone for being an entertainer in that company because he was one of the most entertaining characters they've ever had. That alone will put him in the Hall of Fame. There are characters in the Hall of Fame that have done even less and aren't even barely remembered that are in that Hall of Fame. So he'll definitely be in there one day.
Yeah, well, I give it about a month before people forget about this and don't even mention
it. Well, they'll forget about
anymore.
It by next Monday night.
And I think people just need to grow the fuck up and stop acting like such little fucking whiny bitches. That's what I think. If you guys love R-Truth so much, then go support him in his future endeavors and get over it.
Yeah, buy
it's
his
that
new album.
Fucking simple.
Have the realization that Carlito only has 2 weeks left in his contract. And he does not plan on renewing it. Not to mention, Valhalla just announced that she was released as well.
But
welcome
these
to
aren't
the real world people,
guys. That's the biggest misconception here. These aren't releases. That's just the incorrect terminology. They're simply not having their contracts renewed, but they're still just on the books until the end of their contracts. You got to remember, they still have 30-day non-compete clauses, guys. They're getting paid for the next three fucking months. They're not just throwing them out to the wolves here. They're still getting their income. They will be fine.
All right, let's get started with WWE Raw. And again, like last time, keep it short, sweet, and to the point. And let's get started with the opening segment with CM Punk. He came out because he's going to be in the Money in the Bank qualifying match for this main event for this episode of Monday Night Raw. And he was going to face AJ Styles and El Grande Americano. CM Punk, he's all fired up. He brought up the point that he has won Money in the Bank two times previously, and he's going for the third because this is CM Punk's summer. It's the summer of CM Punk, and it's time to win gold. And I got really hyped up for this main event up until Sami Zayn came out, and I'm like, what the fuck does Sami Zayn, what does he have to do out here? What does he have to say to CM Punk? And basically, Sami Zayn said, hey, I want you to win. I want you to win this thing. I want you to win tonight. I want you to go to Money in the Bank, and I want you to take that briefcase because I don't want Seth Rollins to win it. If Seth Rollins wins it, we are all fucked, basically. So, yeah, Sami Zayn's really pulling for CM Punk, as was I. But thoughts on the opening segment, fellas. What'd you guys think about this promo with these two?
Always happy to see CM Punk. That's my guy. That's my freaking, you know, man. Like I've said a million times, he could punch his grandmother live on TV and I'd be like, well, what did you say to him? As far as it's concerned, he can't do any wrong for me. And I'm always hyper Punk. Decent segment. I like how real their dialogue felt between each other. The interrupting, the kind of cutting each other off, but in a way that felt like, well, let me tell you about what you know, I like the symbiosis of this promo between the two of them. They really do have great chemistry. I really like how Sammy said, I don't just need you to win. For what it's worth, I want you to win. And I think this is all really good because I think they're really starting to sow the seeds for Sammy's eventual heel turn. That's definitely coming. I said it, what was it, like 3 months ago, I said, I think they're going to turn Sammy heel on Jay. I said that a little while ago. And now I'm starting to wonder if they're going to turn him heel on Jay and Punk. Because, you know, this is still a competitive business. It's still a singles division. You guys are just watching each other's backs because it's the numbers game. But eventually, like Karrion said to Sammy, you know, you got to look out for you, man. Like, you would have been champion 10 times over by now. You know, but you're too busy. This, because Sammy has the same problem Jay does. He puts himself in his, pardon me. He puts himself in his friend's business to essentially always save them at the detriment and the cost of himself. He and Jay both have that problem, as well as Gunther pointing that out to Jay later, but we'll talk about it. But that's why there's such this great parallel between Jay and Sammy as friends. Two guys willing to be the underdog, workhorses, and put themselves out there on the line and at a disadvantage for the sake of their friends. Only one of them is the world champion and the other one has yet anything to show for it. And I think that parallel is what's going to put Sammy over the edge where he's going to turn on Jay, because he's going to look at Jay and go, well, I'm every bit as talented as you are. The fans love me every bit as much as you do. I work every bit as hard as you do. And I've been here a long ass time just like you. And I'm selfless just like you are. So when is it my time? And I think eventually that's what's going to make Sammy snap. Because I thought it was great that they had Gunther and Karrion pull those parallels out on both of them tonight. They both basically said the same thing to either men. So I think this was all really good. Set up the main event great. Gives this looming feeling over Money in the Bank. And so for me, this is a great beginning to a go home Raw. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, basically everything Blood said. It's always great to see CM Punk open up Raw. He has, and it's just great. I like it when Punk opens up Raw. There's a different vibe to it than anyone else opening up Raw. But yeah, I can definitely see a Sammy heel turn coming soon, but I don't know how soon.
I'll keep this. We'll see. But I was not able to, unfortunately, watch a good 99% of Raw. What I am getting will be coming from you four. So, this is what I will say. I am with you guys with the thought process of at some point, Sammy absolutely has to turn heel. Because Karrion Kross has this little thing where everyone he talks to eventually hits their dark side. And Blood is absolutely right. Sammy has been around for a while, and at this point, he has nothing truly to show for it, except for the tag titles being the main event of WrestleMania. That is the only thing he truly has going for him. So he really needs to be champion at some point. He absolutely will. There's no doubt about that. And he has to turn heel. My guess would be more on Jay, less on Punk.
I enjoyed the segment between Punk and Seth. I really do hope we get Punk versus Seth at some point, like for a PLE match, because that would be fucking awesome. The storytelling that they can do, the promos that they cut along themselves can produce an amazing story. So I would love to see that in the future.
Yeah, I got really hyped for this too. Because CM Punk also brought up Jey Uso and John Cena. So I was really rooting for CM Punk after this promo to qualify to go on to this weekend to Money in the Bank. Because I'm like, man, like, I would be down to see CM Punk cash in on John Cena. Like, that would be dope. But when it comes to Seth Rollins, yeah, I think we're definitely going to see a match between those two. Probably a few matches. Kind of like how they did with Punk and Drew, how they had, you know, several gimmick matches, and this feud is getting intense, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen. But moving on to the Money in the Bank qualifying matches, the first round match was the women's Money in the Bank qualifying match with Liv Morgan versus Ivy Nile, and the debuting Stephanie Vacker had her first match on Monday Night Raw in this qualifying match. And for a triple threat women's match, this match was actually really fucking good. I actually really enjoyed watching this match. All three of these women look really good in this match. And I wasn't sure how this was going to go. They took me on one hell of a ride because it's Liv Morgan. She just came back. Ivy Nile for a second looked like she was going to steal this one, but it was Stephanie Vacker's night tonight. She won, she's advancing, and she's going to the Money in the Bank this weekend, and she's going to have two matches in one day because she's also going to be a part of Worlds Collide. And Stephanie Vacker got a huge crowd reaction on this episode of Monday Night Raw on her big debut. The people in Tulsa were loving Stephanie Vacker. So thoughts on this Money in the Bank's opening match for the show, the outcome, and yeah, what'd you guys think about this?
I personally enjoyed this match. Usually any match with Ivy, I usually have a problem with, but it was actually really good tonight. Usually I hate Liv Morgan. Don't actually hate her. I hate her character. But yeah, every single one of these women made this match amazing in their own way. Stephanie being the newcomer to Monday Night Raw. Ivy Nile being the somewhat experienced, but not really, and Liv Morgan being the veteran in the match, just had this combination between the three, and it made it, I don't know how to describe it, but it just made it better than any other triple threat match that Snug absolutely loves. Snug loves triple threat matches. But yeah, I love this match. I had actually called Stephanie winning. If you look in the Instagram chat, I said Stephanie Booker and Punk, which we'll get to that later. But yeah, I'm not. But yeah, I don't think Stephanie's winning because two matches in one day, but she works hard and it's possible.
I had a feeling Stephanie Vaquer was going to win this. Why? Because she is the debuting wrestler. There was no possible way that her first match, they were going to give her a loss. There was just no way. And Toxic, when it comes to your little thing of, oh, she has two matches in one night, I'm going to remind you of a little something. NXT Women's Champion and NXT North American Champion at the same time, two different matches, one night, both successful. She Biggie. Can still go even after having a match earlier on in the day. Hell, she defended both titles just like within a half an hour of each other and still successfully defended both of them. In fact, good old Bubba Ray was pissed off when they decided to have her relinquish the North American title. Now, oh, Stephanie, go for it. I don't think she'll win, but I have a feeling she will get close. I don't think she's going to full-on win, but I think she's going to be one of those spots where she climbs the ladder, gets super, super close, and then gets fucked over.
I knew Stephanie Vaquer was winning, so much so that I didn't even watch the match. I didn't want to, because I knew Stephanie Vaquer was fucking winning. So I'm very happy that Stephanie got the win, and it wasn't Liv Morgan. So I'm very happy on my part.
I got to correct you guys all on something. This was not Stephanie Vaquer's debut match. That was actually on April 21st. Because she was still the women's champion for NXT when she had a match, I want to say against Io Sky. So as far as it's concerned, this was still a great match if this is her full call-up. If the reports are to be believed, her and Jordynne Grace are getting called up to SmackDown and Raw respectively. We don't know if this was her official call-up. I'm assuming this is her official call-up, because why else did you have her in the match? You know what I'm saying? That being said, man, this was a great match. It even got "this is awesome" chants throughout the match, which I thought was awesome. This match, at one point, also the fans tried to hijack for "We Want Our Truth" chants. Now, commentary ignored it, but it was very loud and very present. My wife asked me during the match, who do I think is the best out of the three? And I said, well, it depends, because they're all great at something different. I said, Liv Morgan, if you're talking about all around WWE, you know, bubble entertainer, I said, Liv is obviously the best absolute WWE ground up entertainer. I said, Stephanie Vaquer is 100% the best professional wrestler in the match. And I said, Ivy Nile is the best pure athlete in the match. And I think it's a very important discernment to understand the difference between an entertainer, a wrestler, and an athlete. You can be all, or you can be the best of individual pieces of what that's meant to be. I thought these girls worked way better together than they had any right to, because a lot of people will sniff at Ivy Nile. I personally remain always impressed with Ivy. I've been watching Ivy Nile since the pandemic in NXT. I have been watching that girl for years. I've always thought she's got something about her. They just gave her a little bit more time, a little bit more mic time, because they treated her kind of like a big deal in NXT when she debuted. But I thought that the right woman won, because I also already knew Stephanie was winning. I mean, it was kind of a foregone conclusion. You know, Liv is already a champion. They're not going to give Ivy that opportunity. And, you know, Stephanie's right there. Also, I just thought that the finish was great. We got a really quick false finish there. We thought that the victory pin was going to get stolen, and man, I thought it was really well executed. Great opening match for all three of these women. I'm very excited for Money in the Bank for sure.
Fuck, I feel like such an asshole now because you're absolutely right. This wasn't Stephanie's debut match. She's wrestled on Monday Night Raw before, but this felt like a debut match because this is her official call-up to Monday Night Raw. Her previous match, she was still NXT champion. Obviously, not officially part of the main roster, but I think there was a video that was going around before Monday Night Raw of her officially signing the Raw contract with Adam Pearce. So it is official. Stephanie Vacker is definitely part of Monday Night Raw, and she is going to Money in the Bank. And now we have all six spots that are opened up for that have been filled for Money in the Bank. We're going to see Naomi, Rhea Ripley, Roxanne, Julia, Alexa Bliss, and Stephanie Vacker this weekend for the Money in the Bank. Tommy, did you want to add something real quick?
Yes, it was that I sent it. It was on Saturday, I believe it was, of Adam Pearce announcing some stuff that will happen on Raw, and one of them being the fact that she has, in fact, officially signed with Monday Night Raw.
And we'll probably be doing some Money in the Bank predictions probably this week. We'll talk about that more. But yeah, it's all set. Women's Money in the Bank ladder match is set to go for this weekend. It should be really, really dope. But moving on here, let's skip over to the tag team match between Jey Uso and Sami Zayn versus Bronson and Braun. Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed. They tagged up for the very first time, and this was an interesting match because this was connected to the main event, which we'll get into later on, but this is also Bronson Reed's first match back since Survivor Series, since he fucking broke both of his ankles or his feet or whatever it was. His ankles, thank you. And this match, it was a great tag team match, but it ended in a disqualification because Seth Rollins interfered. He stomped your guys' boy, good old Jey Uso. His head went bounce right on the floor there after a vicious curb stomp by Seth Rollins. And Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker just, along with Seth Rollins, beat the living hell out of poor little Jey Uso. And Sami Zayn, but luckily CM Punk was close by. He chased out the heels, and again sets up what's going to happen in the main event later on. But what did you guys think about this here tag team match?
I unfortunately was not able to catch it. As said, I missed about 99% of Raw. This being part of it, I was not able to catch a clip either. But what I will say is this. I don't think this will be the only one. It's the newest faction here. And they're having issues with the biggest person on Raw and Sami Zayn. I do not think that right now this will be their only match. I just don't. I have a feeling they will do a couple more after this. Either one-on-one matches, tag matches again. I don't know, but with the stomp, I have a feeling that at some point either Sammy or Jay will go head to head with Seth because of that, which honestly makes me a little bit scared for Money in the Bank because of that stomp. It makes me think that Seth is going to win it. And it hurts. It hurts to say. Because I really don't want a cash-in on Jay. I really don't. But with that, it makes me scared that Seth is going to end up winning the Money in the Bank briefcase and cashing in on Monday.
The tag match, I wasn't very interested, honestly. Like, most of the night, I wasn't very interested in some of the stuff. Even though it was a really good show, there wasn't a lot of stuff I was interested in. I just wanted Money in the Bank to be done and over with, honestly. But can we give praise to Sami Zayn for bringing us back to the pandemic days with that fucking dance move that he was hitting in that goddamn ring. He it really reminded me of when he was in the pandemic era and he was hitting that dance move. Funny thing, wasn't he a heel when he was dancing like that? A little bit of sprinkling in there. I really like that. But yeah, Seth Rollins interferes. And of course, we couldn't have it without CM Punk interfering as well, because Seth Rollins and CM Punk have that fight forever heat. And whenever they step in the ring together, we know we're getting a five-star classic. So, yeah, I thought that was a really good segment overall. And something Seth Rollins said to Bron Breakker, as Bron Breakker was about to unleash that dog in him. And he's like, "I want you, you son of a bitch. I want you, you old son of a bitch." No, 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 no. We know where he's going to be later on tonight. Trust me. They knew. They knew because CM Punk was qualifying or was trying to qualify for the Money in the Bank briefcase match, which we'll dive more into after. So, yeah, I thought it was a good segment overall and awesome match.
As far as concerned, it was a pretty decent tag match. I like that Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker showcase that they definitely can work together as a good team. If there wasn't a little miscommunication once or twice, you know, when Bronson went for that big, you know, jumping senton, and he basically damn near caved in Bron Breaker's ribs more than he ever hit Jay with it. If you look back at the match, you look at Bron Breakker's face. When he gets the majority of Bronson Reed's full weight, he just goes, "Oh," and he like rolls over. I'm like, "Oh shit, did he just injure him?" But, cause that's a lot of weight, you know, and by the way, kudos to Bronson Reed looking great in his first match back since War Games. A man, his size, his weight, and I'm not calling him fat. I'm saying just at the sheer, for the fucking sake, he's over 300 pounds. Breaking both your ankles cannot be easy to get back to normal walking on with that amount of weight on your over your legs. It just can't be. That being said, this looked great. I like the stomp DQ because to me it protects both teams. You protect Sammy and Jay in the finish. You don't have to pin your champion. Sammy doesn't look like he has to eat the pin like fodder. And you don't have to have these two young, hungry guys you're trying to build look weak in their first match tagging together. So I think the stomp DQ, this is one of those times where a DQ finish makes complete sense. Not like when Vince was just throwing him around like he was handing out fucking candy. However, the only thing I didn't like about this was the end when Seth is shouting, "Hold on, hold on, get back, get back. We know where he's going to be later on tonight. Trust me." I didn't like that part because the fact that it was said loud enough on camera on purpose completely telegraphs the entire finish of the main event. And to me, that doesn't give me the satisfaction while watching the main event to see who's going to win, because now the entire time I'm just waiting for them to come in and ruin it. And now I'm just like, "Oh, come on." Like, even if I could kind of feel that that would happen anyway, that they would come in and attack him, the fact that I absolutely know that it's going to happen for me kind of breaks that immersion for me in the main event, because now I'm not getting to fully enjoy the main event in all of its glory. I'm just waiting for the ball to drop, just like, "All right, when are they coming in? Is it now? Is it now?" You know, kind of thing. That's the only thing I would change, is them picking up Seth Rollins, shouting, basically saying, "Hey, we're just going to jump him in the main event anyway, so it's fine." I was like, "Okay, you didn't have to say that on camera." I mean, you know, I get that we're smart enough to figure it out, but let us just kind of figure it out. Don't just straight up show, don't tell. Let me put it that way. Other than that, I enjoyed the match. Smart finish. And Braun and Bronson look great together. So this was a win.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my bad. Go ahead, Toxic.
Yeah, that's almost the fifth time you did that. Anyways, yeah, I loved the match. The The fact that Sammy got his own yeet glasses was funny. I wish it said, oh, like this side, U, C, and then E, Y, U, C. Yeah. Anyways, when Breaker was going for the spear, like running fast as fuck, and Jay super kicked him, I liked how he sold that. I'm like, holy shit, that was a good sell. But yeah, the part when Seth said, well, no, where he'll be tonight. Wait and trust me. That just ruined the main event. Because I'm like, okay, are they going to come are they going to sit at ringside and wait for the right time? Are they going to come in the middle of the match? Or are they going to wait for a winner and then jump whoever?
Yeah, well, unlike you guys, I thought that little piece of detail right there was great. It made me more interested in the main event because Sami Zayn, if you go back to the opening segment, Sami Zayn said, I want you to focus on telling CM Punk, I want you to focus on the main event. Don't worry about Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. We will take care of them. You just focus on winning tonight. Don't worry about Seth. We'll take care of them. So I wanted to see that happen. I wanted to see Sami Zayn and Jey Uso handle Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. That didn't happen. So now we know that this match is connected to the main event. How are they going to get involved? I knew that they were because it's a triple threat match. The qualifying match is no disqualifications. Something was bound to happen, and that right there pretty much confirmed it, and that got me excited for the main event qualifying match, which was CM Punk, the greatest luchador of all time, El Grande Americano, and AJ Styles.
Chad Gable.
Not Chad Gable. And after a fucking crazy main event that, you know, we expected, we saw the interference. We saw Bronson Reed. We saw Bron Breakker. They came out. They interfered. They caused pretty much. They took CM Punk out of this match. They caused CM Punk the Money in the Bank, which I was still, even though I knew this was going to happen, I wanted to see CM Punk win because I thought, okay, if we have Seth Rollins and CM Punk both in the Money in the Bank, this will make for a great Money in the Bank match for this weekend. But also, the fact that Seth Rollins is the reason that CM Punk did not win it, that just intensifies their feud. It puts more heat on their feud with CM Punk and Seth Rollins. Now CM Punk has a reason to be even more pissed off at Seth Rollins. So either way, like, they could have gone either way with this, and it would have worked great, I think. But the fact that CM Punk is not going to Money in the Bank, that really pisses me off. But there's a positive to this because the greatest luchador of all time won this match. El Grande Americano is going to Money in the Bank. And now, not Chad Gable. And now we have Andrade, Seth Rollins, LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, Penta, and El Grande Americano. Six spots, six men. Money in the Bank this weekend should be one hell of a match. Who's up? I believe it's BT.
Snug, I'm going to need a minute because I am absolutely livid. You are telling me that instead of Karrion Kross being in the Money in the Bank match, a qualifying match at least, you put in a walking cappuccino order. And not only that, you have him win the cunt? Are you fucking with me, Triple H? Are you fucking with me? Oh my fucking Christ. I have never been so livid at a fucking decision like this in a while. Since the fucking booking of the women's triple threat match at WrestleMania. You're telling me a guy who has been going crazy with the fans, like, crazy with the merch sales in Karrion Kross. Somebody who fans have really brought their attention to over the past couple months. since his fucking appearance at WrestleMania, since his promo that he cut after WrestleMania. You're telling me the same guy that we have been screaming at the top of our lungs, book him properly. Give him a chance. You didn't even think of putting him in a qualifying match? Better yet, if it was Karrion Kross and AJ Styles and CM Punk, there would have been a story between AJ Styles and Karrion Kross. They would have capitalized on that after WrestleMania. But I guess we didn't think of that decision now, did we? Imagine Karrion Kross getting the pin on AJ Styles. Whatever happened to logical thinking? There wasn't any logical thinking here, was there, Triple H? I swear to fuck that I am so fucking mad that we got El Grande Americano to fucking be in a Money in the Bank match instead of a guy who we have all been wanting to be booked properly. But yeah, I don't know. I think this has just lowered my excitement for the Money in the Bank match, honestly. Because it's obvious at this point that Seth Rollins is fucking winning by how they booked this. It's fucking poor on Triple H's side. I'm absolutely livid. Fucking stupid.
As far as I'm concerned, so I've already stated this several times, what I believe. I think that whomever wins Money in the Bank, I am extremely worried for Jey Uso on Monday, because I said I do not believe he's walking out of Monday Night Raw next week with the title. Now, the four of you all disagreed with me last week, and you all said that you believe that he's safe. You believe whoever wins is cashing in on Cena. Now, as far as it's concerned, here's the thing. I think this can go a couple of ways now. The way that this main event, the Go Home, has set it up, first off, the triple threat was great. Thought it was awesome. The only reason I think El Grande Americano is in this match is I think they're going to have a whole spot where they're going to unmask him in this match. I think he's going to go for the title. I think the briefcase. He's going to climb for it. He's going to nearly get it, and someone's going to rip that mask right off his head while he's on the top of the ladder for everyone to see. I think that's why he's in this match, is for that spot. That being said, if Seth wins, I think Jay is in massive, massive trouble on Monday. However, I think the only thing that saves this Money in the Bank from going Seth's way is, now that they've screwed Punk out of his opportunity, I think Punk gets involved in Money in the Bank when Seth is about to win and he screws Seth out of the briefcase. Then that leaves it to someone else, most likely on the SmackDown brand, to win the briefcase, and they are going to go after Cena. So I think, as far as it's concerned, because who all do we have in the Money in the Bank again? Who all from SmackDown is in Money in the Bank? Someone tell me.
Solo, Andrade, and someone else.
Okay. So for me, that means that if Seth doesn't win it on Saturday because Punk screws him out of it, I think our winner is LA Knight. And I think because he's the only one on SmackDown that makes the most sense to win it. Why would we give Solo a world title opportunity? We've already seen Solo versus John Cena, and he destroyed Cena. So that match doesn't even have its credibility anymore. And you could argue that John's going to want to get his win back, but fuck that. We want a heel versus heel dynamic? No, come on. John Cena needs to be the biggest heel in the match he's in. Therefore, if Seth doesn't win it, I think LA Knight has to, and I think that sets up LA Knight's feud with John Cena. But again, this all comes down, it's all predicated on the fact that because they screwed Punk tonight, Punk gets his get back on Seth in the match on Saturday, saving Jay on Monday, and LA Knight wins it to set up his feud with Cena. And I'm going to reinstate all that on our prediction episode this week, but those are my thoughts. I think the match perfectly set up two very possible scenarios for how this can go. So I think this was a success in that margin. And I think as much as I would love to see Karrion Kross get his opportunity, because he does deserve it, I think that having El Grande Americano, a.k.a. Chad Gable, shut up Snug, in this match is specifically so they can set up an unmasking spot this Saturday. Those are my thoughts.
Okay. Yes, I'm pissed about Karrion Kross not getting the spot. Yes, I'm pissed about Chad Gable getting two shots at Money in the Bank. And yes, I'm mad that Punk got screwed over, but it made sense for how Seth won't win Money in the Bank. Because let's be honest, do we all want to see another heist of the century? No. Okay, like I thought. It just shocks me that you took Chad Gable. You took Chad Gable almost beating one of the most dominant intercontinental champions in history as Gunther. Almost beating him just for his spot to get taken at WrestleMania 40 by Sami Zayn. No, I'm not saying that I hated that. I loved it. But now you're having this Scooby-Doo shit go on with El Grande Americano. Shut the fuck up, Snug. It's just stupid. In Chad's place in this match, he's just a spot monkey. I fully agree with Mr. Blood. He's only in that match just for the unmasking. Who do I think does it? Probably two of the luchadors in the match, being Penta or Andrade. Makes the most sense. But, I'm kind of pissed now. Because AJ, not the obvious pick, because where the fuck is the story with Karrion Kross? Where the fuck did we leave off with that? And Punk, obviously not, because Seth fucking Rollins. Bullshit.
Should have been Punk. I am going to keep going with that. It should have been Punk. He still could have gotten jumped like he did. I still would have liked Punk to win the match because of the whole thing with Seth Rollins and how much those two despise each other with a passion. Now, Chad motherfucking Gable. Shut up, Snug. That's who he is. It is. I'm with him. He's only there to be unmasked. And when he is, you will see, Snug, that we are right. That you are the only one in this damn panel that's wrong. And it is Chad Gable. He's only there to be unmasked. And when it is revealed to be Chad Gable, we are all going to say, I told you so. All of us. Now, I am with Blood. It does give us two massive opportunities here. Either the obvious one, which is Seth, which we all hate, or the more exciting one, let me talk to you, L.A. Knight. Between the two, I would rather have L.A. Knight win, plain and simple. He is my go-to to win Money in the Bank. I hope they do not go with the obvious choice, because I am going to remind y'all of a certain tag match that happened that him winning the Money in the Bank briefcase would all go back to. I will remind you that John Cena was once the tag partner of L.A. Knight. If he gets the briefcase, it goes full circle, and there's the feud right there that started when they tagged 2 years ago.
Yeah, very possible. The more I hear you guys talk about it, the more it makes sense for LA Knight to win it. But we'll get into that when we do our Money in the Bank predictions. But yeah, it was a great main event. I can see why you guys are all upset about the outcome. But yeah, I think CM Punk not winning it also, it also makes sense to me as well. But after the match, the team of Braun Breaker, Bronson Reed, Seth Rollins, which by the way, they still don't have a name, so I don't even know what the fuck to call them. I'm just going to call them the Paul Heyman guys.
Braun squared.
What?
Braun squared.
Or how about this? Just call them the Braun. Because they don't have brains anymore.
Actually, what if their team is the Bronze and the Brain when they're a group with Seth Rollins? He's the architect. He's the Brain. They're the Bronze. The Bronze, yeah, and the Brain.
That sounds fucking terrible. But
that's some Vince McMahon shit.
Yeah.
So they were standing tall at the end of the show, and Michael Cole asked a question. What is it going to take? Who is it going to take? Who is going to stop these guys? And I think because of what we heard a couple of weeks ago when Paul Heyman demanded everyone to acknowledge Seth Rollins, I think down the line, it's going to have to be Roman Reigns. He's going to have to get involved in this. He's going to have to team up with Punk. And it'll be kind of like a full circle moment there because we haven't seen Roman since WrestleMania, right?
His next scheduled appearance was supposed to be at Money in the Bank. So if not only Punk interferes, but Roman interferes as well, that'll capitalize off of the triple threat match at WrestleMania 41. I would love to see that.
Then there it is. That's who's probably going to take out Seth Rollins to make sure he doesn't
His last appearance was the Monday Night Raw after Mania.
And so, they both have a common enemy in Seth Rollins. So maybe this is the one thing that they fully agree on, which is fully screwing over Seth.
Not just Seth Rollins, but also Paul Heyman. Common enemy.
Yeah. Here's the big problem though. How long do we drag the story out? Because now if every time we have to wait for Roman to come back in the fold, it's another month and a half before the story hits that next gear, because we're waiting on one of the major important players of the story to get back into the fucking, you know, gear here, or come back and grace us with his presence. So you have to wonder, does this ultimate culmination match, do we got to wait till that two-night SummerSlam event? Because you know that that's their huge deal this year, is that two-night SummerSlam. Or are they trying to push this shit all the way to War Games? Which I don't think we need this entire story dragging out until November. I don't think anybody needs that.
Dude.
But at the end of the day, I mean, as much as I love this story, it's June 2nd, man. I don't need 5 more months of waiting on Roman to come back every other month to continue the story that he's a part of. I know you can get a lot of mileage out of this story, but we've already had 2 very vicious matches between Seth and Punk this year. I don't need that run back 3 or 4 more times. We can combo these tag team matches as many ways as we want to, but eventually we're going to get sick and tired of seeing the combos of Jay and Sammy and Punk versus those other 3 guys, unless other people get involved in this story. If Roman was here on a week-to-week basis, this thing would be cooking constantly. And it's a great story. Don't get me wrong. This is an amazing story. But it's not a story that I want to see take 5 months more to tell, when they started telling the story with Punk and Seth specifically on the Netflix on Raw debut. So
Mr. Blood,
we don't need a year of this.
No, we saw the Bloodline storyline go on for fucking, 5 years? So,
but that's because it constantly evolved and adapted, and there was inner turmoil with those individual characters turning on each other.
Who says this doesn't end up like that?
I mean, it could, but we've got to establish more characters. It can't just be the 6 guys for a straight year. The Bloodline story worked because it was a revolving door of other characters constantly coming in and out and being better off for it. If it's just these 6 guys feuding, that's going to get stale.
I don't know, man. I'd be down to, what happened to the Fight Forever chance? Like CM Punk versus Seth Rollins, that's a feud of, you know, of our time right now. And I want to see these guys go at it as many times as possible, and so they can beat the crap out of each other every which way they can.
But at the same time, do you know why Cody versus Roman worked so damn well? Because they were only in the ring with each other 3 total times in 2 years. That's why it works so well. They really made you clamor for that fight. Rock Cena works so well because it took them 2 years to be in the ring with each other three total times, two one-on-ones, and then the tag match with Awesome Truth. If you stagger it like that, it makes sense. If we have a match every week with these guys, a segment every week with these guys, a pay-per-view encounter every fucking month with these guys, and in this case, three fucking encounters in 2 months at pay-per-views, you're going to run out of steam quickly. We need Roman back.
We're going to get Roman back. He's definitely going to get involved in this, but me as a real CM Punk fan...
I am in. Like, hey, shut the... Hey.
I would love to see CM Punk face Seth Rollins as many times as possible. And I want to see this storyline, this thing that they're doing with Paul Heyman, Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed for many, 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 many months to come. And I want to see them grow under Paul Heyman. I want to see Bron Breakker evolve into the next world champion, which I'm sure he is. And I'm all for this, you guys, but we'll see what happens at Money in the Bank. Until next time, until the Money in the Bank predictions, this was the Monday Night Raw review, the last Monday Night Raw before the Money in the Bank, June 2nd in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thank you guys so much who hung out with us. Sorry if I didn't read your comments. My shit was fucking up tonight. But yeah, we'll see you guys later. Have a good night. Let's get out of here.
Four letters.
One word.